Mad Radio, Sports Radio 610, and the radio.com app. Oh, I hate this song. Listen today and tomorrow for your chance to win Texans home opener tickets. Why? Hang on a second. This copy is wrong, isn't it? You can't get these tomorrow. You got to be listening at noon. You got to be listening at 4 o'clock for the remaining keywords to get home opener tickets for the Texans and Giants in the season opener with sideline passes. Again, noon and 4 o'clock if you heard the original keyword at 7 in the morning and those two keywords, and call in at 4:15. You could be going to the home opener only from Houston Sports Leader at Sports Radio 610.
And this continues on Monday as well for that game. So 7 a.m. Monday will be the first keyword for that set of tickets and sideline passes Monday after the Texans and Titans.
A random side note on that song that we just bumped in with. I think it's a song by Pantera. I almost got in a fight at a bar once because I said that that song sucked. And then three people came up to me and started saying, like, why do you think it sucks? It's like, have you heard it?
At least they asked you first.
Right. Were they all my age?
No, they were my age.
Oh, really?
They were about 29, 30, 30 or so. And then four of my friends came over and I was like, this is such a stupid thing to get worked up over. Like, I think the song sucks. I'm just saying it aloud. You know, why are you mad?
You know, I know I'm old. Is that I enjoy cover bands so much now because of like anybody.
You're not alone in that.
Because I've got like, there's talented musicians out there that play the music of my youth now, and they've been playing it for 30 years. And you go out and you're like, yeah, this is some damn good REO Speedwagon right here. And or Pantera.
Are you a fan of the Spasmatics?
No, who do they do?
They do like, they cover all kinds of
stuff. Oh, yes, I am actually.
The little nerdy guys.
Yeah, they played at the Patriots tailgate party that I emceed for some reason right before the Super Bowl.
Well, people thought you were Gronk?
They thought you were Gronk. One guy came up to me and he was like, hey, good job, man. And I'm like, I was like, for what, buddy? And I was like, and he's like, you're the best. You're the best. And I'm like, is this some like Texans fan or something? Yeah. I appreciate it. And I was like, who do you think I am? And he's like, I didn't want to make a big deal out of it and cause a commotion, but you're Gronk, right? I'm like, you think I'd be standing here in the middle of this party with everybody ignoring me, even though I'm the MC, if I was the Gronk? There'll always be over from New England at this huge party, this huge tailgate sponsored by the team. Yeah. It was over at the convention center, not the convention, what's the
NRG Arena Center?
Yeah, Reliance Center at the time, NRG Center. And, or no, it was NRG Center at the time. And they get up and they're like, yeah, I really get the crowd going. And I'm like, I'm Seth Payne from the Texans. And,
Tricky spot.
It really killed the energy in the place. But because I couldn't bring myself. I refused.
Good.
No matter how much they were paying me, and it was a good chunk of money, I refused to pander to the New England Patriots fans. You'd be like, yeah, isn't Brady awesome? I refuse to do it.
Good job.
I tanked. It was 2 hours of tanking, and I stand by that word.
I like it.
I find it hilarious that you sat there and asked the guy, like, hey, so who do you think I am?
Yeah. Well, I can tell. The look he was giving me was none I've ever seen other than, like avid. I have a few, like, sports radio listeners that are just passionate Seth Payne fans, and they'll give me that look sometimes. But this was not, like, a football look where he was looking at me like I was Gronk, and I knew I've never gotten that look. I never
did
quite
have
gotten
beer
that
goggles?
Look. What's that?
Did he at least have beer goggles? Is that an excuse?
I think
he looked nothing like Gronk.
I think he had IQ goggles. delicately, like I feel like he wasn't the brightest guy in the world. I was very polite to him. I wasn't like, oh, you moron. Because I think you might have been a documented moron. Yeah.
The one and only Gary Busey was on In the Loop yesterday, and I caught a little portion of this, but we had a meeting at our boss's office, so I couldn't get the full experience. We wanted to bring that to you guys. This is Gary Busey, Paul, and he was giving. What was the story that he was giving here?
You know what? It's Gary Busey, so there's really
his trip to the other side.
John asked him a question about a trip to the other side, and Gary just Gary Busey.
What was the spiritual experience that you had that you just talked about a second ago?
I don't know. Remind me.
You said you had a spiritual experience. I guess it was maybe you said it was after the motorcycle accident.
I've had a spiritual experience all my life. My trip to the other side came after the death. I died after brain surgery. I quit living. I was transported to a very magical place called the supernatural and spiritual realm. I was surrounded by angels, which are balls of light as big as a volleyball that are shimmering and glowing and breathing. You can't look an angel right into its light because the love, protection, and for you, from them, from the angel, so strong you go flat on your belly.
Yeah.
It is so strong. And I was there, my essence was there, and three of the angels came up in front of me,
Fred.
Balls of light. And the one on the left was abalone and mother of pearl colored. And Allah spoke to me in thought, in an androgynous voice, and said, where you're going is great. Your direction is wonderful. But what your responsibility is for mankind, you need to look for help in the spiritual realm. You may come with us now or continue your return to your body and continue your destiny. It's your choice. So when you when you're on the other side, excuse me, when you're on the other side, in the spiritual realm, you hear the truth and you go right to it. The word truth, T-R-U-T-H, stands for taking real understanding to heart. It's in the book.
It sounds, now, is the book out? When can we get the book?
Yeah, it's out. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, BooksAMillion.com.
Okay. When can...
Audible.com, because I take...
Okay.
You can put the CD in the car when you're driving and listen to me tell you the stories. And
oh, well, that's...
You'll
a,
be right there.
That's a no-brainer,
heart.
Then. That is a no-brainer.
CDs,
that is a no-brainer.
CDs, cassette tapes.
Oh, man.
Hell, for $500, I'll come narrate it in your living room. I wonder if the audience...
You know what? He sold me on the experience.
Oh, he did.
That sounds great.
He sold you on the experience, but then as soon as he was really started talking about it, he starts choking and coughing and all that type of stuff. And that makes me think, like, man, are you... You know, like, when somebody's telling you a lie and then all of a sudden they get all choked up and all that, it's like, man, you lying, man.
He's got you wonder
serious,
what else they're on?
But he's got some serious phlegm in those lungs, too, I think. After the residue of various drugs and tobacco and everything.
That causes phlegm?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would imagine he's a big smoker. If Gary Busey's not a huge smoker, I'll eat my hat. I don't own any
is
hats.
Is Busey in the category of people, like, when you look at them, they are funny, just by looking at them?
Depending on what state he's in, I would say so.
Okay. Yeah.
I was actually, but okay, wait, though. Seriously, though, when you listen to, look... I don't think he was actually on the other side, but he had an experience, and let's say that he did actually have that experience or that vision or whatever. I was finding some truth in there. You had to dig through some raspiness, but I was finding some truth in there. Like, okay,
yeah,
everybody has a decision to make.
Listen, he sounded very believable, and he sounded very eloquent and articulate about what he saw. He did a very good job of describing what actually he went through.
Once he was prompted by the publicist.
Well, yeah. Well, but see, that's the thing about it. They didn't kind of lead this up into this the soundbite. But he had just discussed this whole. He talked about his spiritual experience, and then when Lopez asked him the question, he's like, "What experience?" He's like, "I've been going through a spiritual awakening my entire life."
That was
I thought right? I thought the craziest thing was that he goes through all of that and he sounds so Gary Busey like, and then all of a sudden he busts out into motivational speaker acronym guy.
Yes, and I was shocked that he knew the acronym so well. So she had a long day at the office yesterday.
I'm intrigued
I'm sure.
By this. That might have to be my next one.
I'm gonna give it.
I
want to
meet her. I want to talk to her. Like, if you're Gary Busey's publicist and you have to be with him every time he does an interview,
must be
just
such
think
a
about,
fun job.
I mean, you don't know what you're going to get out of him, man. That's got to be fun in one respect, but crazy and hard.
You got to keep him in line.
Yeah, I've got a feeling Gary Busey might not be all that up to speed on the Me Too movement. I don't know if I'd want to be his publicist.
It could be a factor as well.
That would be my gut feeling. I'm not making an allegation of any sort.
Right. You got to deal with that. You have to deal with the fact that you got to keep him on time and on schedule. That has to be a major challenge as well. And I got to give Fred and John credit. I feel like they are the best hosts now at the station as far as non-traditional interviews. They had a great spot with Gary Busey. They had a great spot with Billy Bob Thornton. So I want to give them the credit that they so rightly deserve.
And,
well
and
done.
Honestly, the best part of that interview was Fred when he was like, yeah.
Yeah. Time now for the Meltdown on a Friday.
What has Mike Meltzer ready to explode today? Time to find out with The Meltdown, presented by Consolidated Communications. Warning, Mike could drop the F word.
Fair.
This is Mad Radio on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Little random, last night, Thursday Night Football, Cincinnati and Baltimore. Two things about this game. Number one, I don't like NFL number one team broadcasters being on Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football is beneath the likes of Al Michaels and Joe Buck. Those games are beneath them, even though I thought the game last night was decent. That's the first thing. We can go through all this. And number two, If I owned an NFL team, this is what I would do. I would schedule a meeting with my head coach every week, which I'm sure happens. But as part of me meeting with that coach, I would want to sit down and go through with my head coach the boneheaded game management and clock management decisions by other NFL head coaches. Cincinnati last night, at the end of the first half, did a terrible job of trying to grind down the clock. They threw three straight passes with like 90 seconds to go in the half. Baltimore gets the ball back. They move the ball down the field. Flacco draws one of his weird defensive pass interference calls. They score 7 points for basically no reason. Like, the Bengals completely blew it. If I was McNair or anybody else, if I owned an NFL team, had multiple billions, I would sit down with my coach and I'd see what happened in this game. I never want you to do that again.
You know what? There was a really interesting article I read a few years back about that just asked this question. Why do some people in some professions at some point stop having coaches or teachers? Where, like, if you look at the best golfers in the world, except for Tiger this year, almost all of them have swing coaches. Best tennis players in the world. Serena has a coach who does not give her coaching during the game. They all have coaches. The best athletes in football have coaches. The best assistant coaches have somebody over them. And yet you get to that head coaching position, and you've got mentors around the league that you can call and ask for advice, but you really don't have a coach that's sitting there and helping you out through things. So I don't think the owner should be doing it. But if I was an owner, I would most certainly have, and it could even be hand-selected by the coach, but somebody that's a mentor that's there in the building to actually, not even in the building, but at least once a week or twice a week, basically to counsel your head coach.
And this take that you're having, is the owner, is this a learning session for them, or is this a session where they're holding coaches accountable?
A combination. Because if I was McNair, I'd walk in the Urbana and be like, all right, I want to go through some of these. So I'm watching Cincinnati last night. They left Baltimore too much time. What do you think of this situation? What would you do? I want to make sure that my head coach knows what he's doing, especially with this head coach, because I'm not sure if he really knows what he's doing when it comes to big game management, clock management decisions.
Okay. I guess what you're saying is you're holding them accountable by having them teach you and learn you through the entire process.
Exactly,
because there's
yes.
not many owners that I would say would understand the game management and know, like, hey, you pissed the situation off and you're wrong on this. Because owners, a lot of times, they're doing all kind of other stuff, and they're not focusing on the actual day-to-day game plan management stuff. If the coaches aren't there, and that's their actual job, like, what makes you think that the owners are going to know what
they're
doing?
I don't know. Does Jerry Jones go through the film with Jason Garrett? Now, he's technically the GM.
Yeah, I mean, he's technically so the GM, but his son's really doing
he's
it.
He's a great owner, I mean, but not a good GM.
Yes.
Which is right. He's a great owner of like a conglomerate,
exactly.
too, where he's got 200 Papa John's and he's got whatever else in real estate holdings and everything.
Yes, he's a great businessman, but as far as being a GM or like trying to do anything football related, not so much.
See, now Al Davis was very much involved in the football side of things. He just chose not to update his knowledge anytime over the
correct.
Course of his last 20 years.
I mean, Al was a football guy, and then eventually he lost, not lost
he
that
just
knowledge.
Lost that touch.
Yeah, he lost the touch. He fell behind with the times.
Yeah.
He fell behind the times, essentially. Wade, we'll see you next Friday. Thank you very much.
It's always real, fellas.
You got any charity events coming up this week?
I do not have any charity events coming up this week, but the 16th is my daughter's birthday, so I'm going to wish her a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Rissa. And then my wife's birthday is on the 19th, so I'm going to wish her a happy birthday as well.
So that's a big 5 days for you.
And then my one-year-old just turned one on the 6th, so September is big. The first 2 weeks in September.
Big month.
Two or 3 weeks in September, I got 3 birthdays, so we knock them out.